Those lazy, hazy days of winter. Hi-ho, it's news from Radio EcoShock. You gotta love the solid-state doublespeak that passes for environmental reporting in China. You gotta. Otherwise, they'll shut you down and re-educate your sorry. While Beijing citizens are gasping for breath behind their surgical masks, this is how the government tells it through their wholly owned news service called Xinhua. The headline? Hazy days impede Beijing's blue sky goal. Yep, in China, even the sky is expected to meet government targets. But don't call it smog. That sooty guck is just mid-air suspending haze.
Those lazy, hazy, crazy days.
The Beijing city government set a goal for 238 blue sky days this year, but the last 9 days in January were health chokers instead. Not that we can believe any of these statistics, but Xinhua claims that the capital had 64.1% blue sky days in 2005. Well, comrade, that means 4 days out of 10 delivered a killing smog. I mean, mid-air suspending haze. You can find the rosy interpretation of disastrous air quality at news.xinhua.com/English. Xinhua is spelled X-I-N-H-U-A. We get a more scientific explanation from livescience.com for January 20th. Quote, smog is blocking sunlight in China and making much of the country significantly darker than it was half a century ago. Using nearly 500 instruments spread throughout the country that record the amount of sunlight reaching the ground, researchers found that solar radiation has decreased by about 2% per decade since 1954. The country is roughly 10% darker on average than it was 50 years ago. Imagine, humans have actually made the sky go dark. And it isn't more clouds. In fact, researcher Yun Yan from Pacific Northwest National Laboratory reports cloud cover has decreased in China. So the change comes from fossil fuel emissions, which increased ninefold in the last century. That smoggy coal haze is absorbing and deflecting sunlight. You can find that study online in the journal Geophysical Research Letters. The Beijing government is trying to clear the air, especially if they want people to breathe during the 2010 Olympics. Beijing formed a new energy police in January to track down unnecessary lighting and wasted heat in shopping malls and office buildings. For the first time, there will be an enforcement team to back up the national slogans to reduce energy imports and pollution. They have a long way to go. According to the Asian Development Bank, Chinese industry uses 4 times more power to create a single unit of the gross domestic product compared to the top industrialized countries. The independent newspaper in Britain at www.independent.co.uk has become a leader in breaking environmental stories. On January 19th, their science editor Steve Connor reported something that should send chills up the spines of all creatures who have spines. As you may know, the whole chain of life depends on microscopic plants in the ocean called plankton. Now, scientists have found that global warming can starve plankton in the sea. Connor says this could have, quote, catastrophic implications for the entire marine habitat, end quote. The new study comes from a team led by Jeff Hoosman at the University of Amsterdam. They find that global warming is heating the ocean surface waters and interfering with the exchange of nutrients from the deep sea. Without nitrogen, phosphorus, and iron, the plankton weaken and die. It gets worse. We depend on the massive banks of plankton to capture carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and sink it into the sea. If we lose plankton, there could be a positive feedback mechanism resulting in ever more carbon dioxide in the Earth's air supply. It's a good time to hear from one of the early politicians brave enough to write about global warming. Former Vice President Al Gore is about to publish his newest book in April. The publisher is the longtime organic house Rodale Books. The title, An Inconvenient Truth. Yes, indeed. The book is a companion to a documentary film about Gore's climate campaigning recently shown at the Sundance Film Festival. That's also called An Inconvenient Truth. In both book and film, Gore argues there is indisputable proof that the climate is shifting and humans are causing it. According to the famous scientist James Lovelock, it's all too late anyway. In his February release called Gaia's Revenge, the aging Lovelock fears that humans have failed to react to their greatest crisis since their time began. Who is he? In the 1970s, this fellow of the Royal Society, Dr. James Lovelock, proposed the Gaia theory, that the Earth and its life form a complete living system. Living things have modified the Earth and its atmosphere to further the goals of life itself. Lovelock was no environmentalist. At the time, he was working for Shell Oil. He's been a huge fan of nuclear power and continues to advocate more reactors for everyone. In science, Lovelock's Gaia theory led to an important reconception of the operation of Earth. Many scientists have adopted it. The Greens and the public went further to imagine the Earth as a single living entity, perhaps a power worthy of religion. That was beyond Lovelock's scientific intent. Now, at age 86, Lovelock surveys the tsunami of scientific evidence for human-induced climate change and concludes that the carbon balance of the atmosphere has already been irrevocably changed. We can only hope to mitigate the damage, but not stop huge, almost unimaginable changes for life on Earth. Without a complete U-turn of the carbon economy, Lovelock predicts that by 2100, the only place fit for human life will be in the Arctic. He writes, quote, "It was ill luck that we started polluting at a time when the sun was too hot for comfort. We have given Gaia a fever, and soon her condition will worsen to a state like a coma. She has been there before and recovered, but it took more than 100,000 years. Much of the tropical landmass will become scrub and desert. Before this century is over, billions of us will die, and the few breeding pairs that survive will be in the Arctic, where the climate remains tolerable." End quote. Strangely, Lovelock says that pollution itself has helped deflect some of the sun's heat in a phenomenon called global dimming. But, quote, "This global dimming is a transient and could disappear in a few days like the smoke that it is, leaving us fully exposed to the heat of the global greenhouse. We are in a fool's climate, accidentally kept cool by smoke. We will do our best to survive, but sadly, I can't see the U.S. or the emerging economies of China and India cutting back in time, and they are the main source of emissions. The worst will happen, and survivors will have to adapt to a hell of a climate." So says James Lovelock. Get the full article in The Scotsman for January 17th at thescotsman.com. A host of scientists and public bureaucrats, including the UK Environment Minister, privately agree with Lovelock's despair about human failure to adapt to the carbon crisis. The Independent newspaper asked the well-known scientific author, Mark Lynas, to write a response. Lynas says, quote, "He's right, in my opinion, that this is the most likely scenario. But that doesn't mean we should give up the daily slog of trying to prove otherwise. Lovelock's grim warning shouldn't be a recipe for fatalism. True, carbon is now accumulating at the atmosphere at a record rate, 2.2 parts per million last year. But no one should be misled into thinking that as things stand, it's already too late. If all emissions stop tomorrow, we'd almost certainly stabilize at less than 2 degrees, saving billions of lives and countless species from extinction. It's the fact that emissions aren't going to stop that is the problem, and it is here that we need to make sure that fatalism doesn't kick in." End quote from Mark Lynas. That's been the general reaction in various net forums like metafilter.com. One wag said he was canceling his order for a Toyota Prius hybrid, since it was too late anyway. Survivalists are wondering if their food in the bunker will be of any use. We already know there will be millions, perhaps even billions, of climate refugees. The imminent climate catastrophe breeds its own mental and cultural problems. How can we face it? Shall we give up? Or maybe we should start standing out in the streets with our symbolic red scarves or hats in our millions until the traffic stops, until the leaders are compelled to lead. Do you care if the Earth goes to hell? Will you drive that gas guzzler to the edge of the cliff to watch it all? This has been news from Radio EcoShock, a full-time voice for the planet at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org. Listen to what's happening to your planet.